Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business Magazine, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. This is a special bonus episode of the HMEB podcast, and I wanted to give you a little explanation. On May 22nd and May 23rd last week, I made my yearly pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. for the American Association for Home Care's Washington Legislative Conference. They host that each year. And I wanted to give you a taste of what happened at this year's event, the important issues that were on the industry's agenda, and some snippets of interviews I conducted with various advocates in DC. Moreover, if you haven't done any industry advocacy, I hope this gives you a springboard that you'll use to dive in and work on behalf of the industry's legislative agenda and regulatory agenda. There's a lot at stake, and you can do a tremendous amount of work on behalf of your business, your patients, and your fellow industry members. Okay, with all that said, let's dive in. First off, let me set the stage. What the Washington Conference is, if you're new to the industry, AA Home Care organizes the conference each year to help providers meet with the offices of their representatives and senators on Capitol Hill. That way they can have meetings with legislative aides and advance the industry's objectives. The association sets up the meetings and then the providers carry them out. This year, AA Home Care set up more than 300 meetings in support of a laundry list of advocacy objectives. Jay Witter, Senior Vice President of Public Affairs for AA Home Care, gave me a good rundown of what was on the plate.
We have a full menu of issues. You know, the sector is very diverse. We have rural relief, non-rural, non-CBRE relief. We have legislation to eliminate the oxygen budget neutrality. We have multiple efforts on the stopping CMS's effort on including vents in CB. And then complex rehab, we have, you know, two pieces of legislation that we're advocating for to prevent cuts to the manual accessories, but then creating a separate benefit for CRT. So there's a full, and our folks are talking about audit reform. They're talking about prior authorization as well.
In fact, in talking with AA Home Care President and CEO Tom Ryan, it became clear that 2019's event marked the biggest docket AA Home Care has ever brought to D.C.
Yes, we've had a good amount of AS here. If you look at the package, the attendee package, between the three CRT bills, between the bill that just dropped last week, H.R. 2771, and you know, and now the ask on the ventilators, there's a lot of takeaways here. So it's a great opportunity. I mean, and just with no effort, the bill dropped on Thursday, and we picked up four co-sponsors on Monday. So I really hope we can get to high double digits just by working this hill with the key components. So a lot of work to be done.
Indeed, the industry has lots of plates spinning in the air. And that reminds me, one thing I want to hopefully bring to life for you in this episode is that the Washington Conference is exciting. For example, when it comes to the congressional sign-on letters calling on CMS to remove non-invasive ventilators from competitive bidding, the industry had worked with Representatives Morgan Griffith of Virginia and Peter Welch out of Vermont to launch the House letter the week before the Washington Conference. And on the morning of day one of the Washington Conference, AA Home Care was just about to secure champions in the Senate for a letter that could be launched in the upper chamber. AA Home Care's Witter noted this would be something that industry advocates could add to their list of advocacy asks.
And I'm getting real-time data about the Democratic lead, and our folks are going to meet with them. On,
this is for a companion bill?
It's for the Senate vent letter.
Okay. Oh, for the sign-on letter.
Yeah,
okay.
So we have the House letter that's moving forward, but we're doing the Senate letter this morning, going back and forth in real time. Our folks are going on the Hill, and I, you know, they can talk and get this thing knocked down today.
Really?
Hopefully, they can talk to the staff and, you know, get the Senate letter moving. So.
Okay, and so this is, you're not kidding when you say everything's happening in real time.
It's real time, yeah.
Sure enough, the Washington Conference is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to HME advocacy, and out of that packed agenda, the respiratory relief and rural relief provided by H.R. 2771 One and the congressional sign-on letters were big items for advocates such as Bill Guidetti, executive vice president for APRIA's Eastern Zone.
We're highly focused on non-invasive ventilation.
Okay.
We think that we're putting patients at risk who are really life dependent on that type of equipment. So we'll be passionate about that. We've got to get that change, right? We've got to get legislation around that. I think the other thing is the double dip on oxygen, which basically the neutrality with that. What they were trying to do is have an offset for new technology coming in for oxygen patients, portable oxygen concentrators.
Yeah.
And so as the utilization grew on that, they took pricing down on the standard oxygen concentration, and they wanted to keep it neutral inside the budget. But what they did,
they forgot the fact that sometimes people need both devices.
Need both devices, backup devices, and how do you ever innovate in the industry if you don't allow for new equipment to come in?
Yeah.
You know, there has to be pricing disparity when new technology comes in. So,
and again, rural relief was a real big agenda item for Bill as well.
The relief in the rural areas have been good, but not good enough. Right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, still, our cost to do business out there, our fixed cost is much higher than in densely populated areas.
Yeah.
And so, Congressman, they're going to hear about that.
As mentioned, in addition to respiratory and rural relief, there were some key mobility asks, particularly for complex rehab stakeholders at the Washington conference. I spoke with Georgie Blackburn, Vice President of Government Relations and Legislative Affairs at Blackburn's, as well as Seth Johnson, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs for Pride Mobility and Quantum Rehab, about their top concerns.
Well, we have some critical things we need to get past this year as far as I'm concerned. One is to make sure that the manual CRT wheelchair accessory bill gets passed so that we are protected with access, our patients are protected with access to the components that they need on their chairs that are excluded from competitive bidding. Let's see, that was 2293, and of course Senator Casey from Pennsylvania has introduced the companion bill for that, and that is 1223. And it's very important to us that this gets settled. It's something that, in my mind, CMS has made a mistake, and we need to get it rectified. We had it rectified for the power wheelchairs. Now we need to get this rectified for the manual chairs that are excluded from competitive bidding. And the other priority that I have is to work on getting a separate benefit created for those complex rehab patients that require this benefit long term. I'd like to feel that this is something that we won't have to revisit through competitive bidding someday, that we find our chairs in there, and that we know there's a population that is unique in their needs, and CMS finally recognizes it.
Gotcha. And this is, it's funny because I would imagine, and you tell me if I'm wrong, that when you're meeting on the Hill, most people look at the notion of a separate benefit and go, well, that just makes sense. Because it is such an entirely unique healthcare benefit. Seth, Georgie, what's your opinion, or what's your take? Am I right? Do they typically respond in that way, or does it take a little bit more explaining?
I think the analogy that O&P, orthotics and prosthetics, was carved out at one point, saying these are unique to the individual. These components that were using on the patient are unique to that patient, and complex rehab is a good analogy of that carve out, and that resonates, I think, in the offices.
Is that your experience as well?
That is. They recognize back in 2008, Congress originally recognized that complex rehab is different than standard DME.
Uh-huh.
So we already have that in law, exempting complex rehab power at the time, because that was the only thing included in competitive bidding. So they recognized the difference and the fact that complex rehab is, you know, individualized, very involved. It's a completely different process to put someone in complex rehab equipment than it is to put them in a standard DME or provide a standard DME item to the individual.
Gotcha.
And the Spire's expertise is totally different when we're working with complex rehab patients. We have credentialed people on staff. It's a lot more time and energy and knowledge base that's needed to deal with them.
Yeah.
And the clinical teams.
Well, that makes absolute sense. Well, I wish you guys luck on your meetings.
Yeah, we're excited to go to the Hill and, you know, Bill, the co-sponsors, You know, we have a good number right now coming off the CRT conference a couple weeks ago, and we're going to go in there and have follow-ups on with some of the people that we met with a few weeks ago that haven't signed on to the bill yet to get them on the bill. So we're confident that over the next couple of weeks we're going to see that number continue to increase significantly.
And in tandem with this entire process on Capitol Hill was A-Home Care's virtual fly-in. While the meetings are ongoing as well as after them, industry leaders were calling on HME providers who couldn't make the trip to Washington, D.C. to support the Washington conference by contacting their lawmakers and staffs via phone call, email, snail mail, and social media messages supporting this multi-pronged legislative agenda. And then, as A Home Care's Jay Witter pointed out, during this week and next week, providers could continue to engage lawmakers and their staff through follow-up contacts.
For people who couldn't make it to this event in person, what would you tell them in terms of diving in?
You know, they can certainly build off of the visits that are going on today and tomorrow. They can help those who came in by contacting and saying that this is important. And the more voices that are heard, whether they're here in D.C. with the congressional staff or virtually through emails and tweets and calls from the states and the districts, are extremely important. So we're coordinating the D.C. meetings with the fly-in to have the maximum impact.
And because it's virtual, it essentially could go on ad infinitum, but I imagine that there's sort of you're trying to have a concentrated push. What would you say?
Right. So we're trying to concentrate the grassroots connections over the next couple of days. But then we will, with these Hill visits and the virtual contacts, coordinating follow-up. So in the next week or two. So it'll be tandem. We'll work with the folks that came into D.C. plus those who called in and coordinating follow-up efforts in a week or two.
Wow.
So these will be ongoing. You know, we have these letters, we have the legislation ongoing, but there'll be a push over the next week or two to follow up.
And for providers who want to join in on that follow-up effort but are unsure about how to proceed, who might be a little nervous about meeting with lawmakers or their staff, A Home Care's president and CEO, Tom Ryan, had some good advice.
So what about the people who might not have done this sort of thing before, somebody who wants to support this effort through the virtual fly-in, but is feeling a little shaky, what advice would you give to them?
You know, you're in this business, if you're in this business, you know sales, okay? So just use your basic sales skills.
There you go.
You know, get your points across, talk with passion, listen to what they have to say. At the end of the day, if they're asking questions, then that's a good thing. And you know from the virtual fly-in material that the points are fairly succinct. I think we have great Hill papers that can give you the key facts. And if they ask you questions, you don't have an answer, then that gives you the opportunity to come back. Another bite at the apple. So don't be intimidated. If you don't know the answer, say, I'll get back to you. That's a great opportunity to get back.
Industry legal expert and advocate Jeff Baird, chairman of the healthcare group at the industry law firm Brown & Fortunato, underscored another point. Keep your messaging simple.
What we have to realize is that we here in the DME industry, A, home care, and other stakeholders, we live and breathe this stuff. And so as far as we're concerned, this is just part of our day-to-day lexicon. However, the folks we're talking to on Capitol Hill, normally it's going to be the legislative assistants. Normally it's not the elected representative or senator. But they normally have very little to no knowledge of the DME industry, and that's to be expected. We are a relatively small industry. We take up a very small portion of the Medicare budget, and we have to understand that our senators and representatives and their legislative aides are having to juggle everything from immigration policy to tax policy to you name it, and to agricultural policy. And so here we're coming in and talking about this industry that's very unique.
Yeah.
And so what we have to understand is that what we take is just common sense knowledge that we wallow in every day. We're essentially talking Greek or Latin to these legislative assistants.
Even when they have healthcare expertise.
Well, they might have healthcare expertise, but their healthcare expertise is general, is broad, is general. It involves doctors, hospitals, insurance companies, but certainly not durable medical equipment.
Yeah.
And so the key then is we have to go in, obviously be respectful, but approach this almost on a C-spot run type approach, where we try to present what the, we try to describe the industry very quickly. We present the issues in a very simple way. We give some key buzzwords,
mm-hmm.
So that at least they can take away a basic knowledge of what the industry is and what we need, and then, of course, leave resource materials.
AO Home Care, as Ryan emphasized, another point for people wishing to add their voices to the post-Washington conference follow-ups. Lawmakers expect and actually want this kind of contact.
That's the whole idea, you know, focus the efforts. We're here, we're making noise on the Hill, we're making a lot of noise. Again, there'll be 300 Hill appointments. But we have a large grassroots effort out there throughout the country, and if we can get the grassroots through the virtual fly-in, you know, as we're there fresh in front of the faces of the LDs and the health LAs, it just adds to the pressure. At the end of the day, they're constituents, they want to hear from their constituents. It's a serious issue, and we've got to make sure that they're heard. So.
Want to get involved? Advocacy is just a few mouse clicks away. Let me give you a couple good links that can get you started. The first is aahomecare.org/advocacy. That's AA Home Care's general advocacy page. Again, that's aahomecare.org/advocacy. The next is action.aahomecare.org. That's AA Home Care's Take Action page. There you'll find resources on the industry's various agenda items, as well as tools to help you contact your lawmakers today. In about 10 minutes or so, you can do your business, your patients, and your industry a world of good. Again, that is action.aahomecare.org. Okay, that'll close up things for episode 8. I hope that I brought you up to speed on the Washington conference, gave you a taste for what the event is like, and hopefully got you fired up to advocate on your behalf of your industry. If you want to stay on top of what's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. And of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter. Again, that's at HME Business. And I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Again, that's at Postacute News. And of course, there's this podcast. Please, if you haven't already, make sure to click on the subscribe button so that you can get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter. Again, that's at Postacute News, or you can hit me up on email. That address is DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. With all that, I think I'll wrap things up for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.